This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
So last week, after preaching and presiding at a whole lot of church services, Chuck, our rector, gave what I found to be a particularly convicting and inspiring Easter Sunday sermon. Now, I'll admit that as a lifelong churchgoer and fellow preacher, I don't always get a ton out of the Easter Sunday sermon, but this one was different. This one reached into my crowded pew, woke me out of my post-Holy Week stupor, distracted me from my pre-brunch hunger, and said, "Listen up, there's something here that you don't want to miss. This isn't just another sappy, shallow, Jesus is risen so everything's magically okay Easter Sunday sermon. This is a grounded, rooted, Jesus is risen, so now we must get to work Easter Sunday sermon. Jesus is risen, so now we must get to work. Is it not what you expected to hear from the pulpit on one of the most celebratory days of the church year? Would you have rather been given permission to simply laugh and play, eat your chocolate bunnies and your Canterbury eggs and your sugary peeps, break your Lenten fast, and bask in the glory of the risen Christ? If so, I bet you're not alone. A lot of us get to Easter Sunday and think, "Phew, it is finally time to take a breath. We have already been working. Lent was work. Holy Week was work. Whether you're paid to be here or not, we have all done a lot of extra church in the last few weeks. While we also had to go to work and pay the bills and shuttle kids to and fro and care for aging parents and pick up the groceries and try to stay connected to the people we love. No wonder we initially balk a bit at the call to get to work." But here's the thing. Chuck wasn't talking about just any old work. He was talking about something very specific, something he called resurrection work. Resurrection work. This is the work that God did in raising Jesus from the dead. This is the work that we must continue doing in the world, because the world is desperately in need of resurrection work. This is how Chuck put it. There's resurrection work to do because there are people in this world who have seen a whole lot of things that don't look like resurrection. There are people all over this world who have experienced things that look like death and pain, but that don't look like grace and mercy and healing. There was an urgency in his voice that I've only heard when something has touched his heart in a particularly deep way. There was a call to action that he only issues when he believes there's a special need. There was an invitation that he hoped we'd accept to bear witness to the life-changing, life-giving, life-saving power that only God's presence can bring. It's the same invitation that Jesus extends to his disciples in today's gospel. He comes to them on the very same day he walked out of his tomb, so they didn't get a break either. And I'm sure they wanted at least one day to wallow, to worry, to wonder. But just as they were getting comfortable in their stupor, just as they had dried the last tears, just as they had formulated a plan to simply survive the next few hours, the disciples look up and there he is, Jesus in the flesh, wounds and all. He stood among them, a crucified, died, raised up Savior who did not have time to waste. And maybe he said to them, "You're tired? I get it. You're afraid? I get it. I was betrayed, arrested, mocked, accused. I was abandoned, convicted, crucified, buried. I wouldn't wish any of it on any of you, and I don't ever want to do it again. But don't you know what just happened on that cross? Don't you know what just happened in that tomb? I was dead and now I live. So now it's time to get to work. Resurrection work. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. There's good news to spread and sick folk to heal. There are beggars to feed and lepers to cleanse. There are blind who need sight and widows who need comfort. There are orphans who need raising and strangers who need welcoming. I did not just hang on that cross so people can continue to suffer. I did not just lie in the blackness so despair can continue to reign. I did not just walk out of that tomb so cynicism can continue to dominate. It's time to get to work. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, Thomas is a little late to the party, and maybe out of frustration or fatigue or fear, he tries to put a caveat on all this. He says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails, unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Unless I am satisfied, unless I am convinced, unless you prove this to me beyond a shadow of a doubt, I will not believe. Well, Jesus took care of that one, and Thomas came around. But what about our caveats? What about our unlesses? Resurrection work? Sure, I'll help. Unless I'm busy, unless it's not convenient, unless the person in need is annoying, unless the task at hand is beneath me, unless I need a nap, unless I just don't feel like it. Now, I have used all of those excuses at one time or another to not say yes to the resurrection work that God has laid at my feet. In fact, I almost did so this past week, but something kept me from giving an unless. So we were at Laundry Love, which is the monthly event where we provide resources for people to do their laundry. It was the end of a busy night, at the end of a busy week, and well past the time that we normally stay. I was very ready to go home. As I was just finishing making my rounds to say goodbye, I noticed a new guy with a huge suitcase full of dirty clothes, being accompanied by another one of the volunteers to a washer. This volunteer called to me, "Hey, I need one of the laundry debit cards that you have." In my head, I said a lot of things. It's too late. We don't have anything left. He should have gotten here earlier. We can't help. And left to my own devices, I very likely would have politely and kindly said no and went out the door. But the other volunteer was not budging. And Chuck's words kept ringing in my ears, and this seemed as clear an example of resurrection work as anything. So I dug out the laundry debit card and headed to the washer. The man had mounds and mounds of clothes. And I kept thinking, "We don't have enough. It's too late. You should have come earlier. I want to go home." But instead, I swiped the laundry debit card. Someone else added a few quarters that they dug out from their car seats. Another person popped in some detergent that appeared out of nowhere, and this man was on his way to having clean clothes. This man who was late and had more than we could assist with, and who would have understood if we had told him we couldn't help. Except there was resurrection work to do. So we did it. It took all of 7 minutes, and it made all the difference. Certainly to the man we helped, but also to those of us who, by God's grace, managed to push past all our unlesses and give him a yes. Don't you know what happened on that cross? Don't you know what happened in that tomb? Jesus was dead and now he lives. So now it's time to get to work. Resurrection work. As the Father has sent him, so he sends us. To the ones who need good news, to the sick who need to be healed, to the beggars who need to be fed, to the lepers who need to be cleansed, to the blind who need sight, to the widows who need comfort, to the orphans who need raising, to the strangers who need welcoming. And to the students who need to be championed, to the workers who need to be encouraged, to the family members who need to be heard, to the newcomers who need a friend, to the neighbors whose load could be lightened. This is the stuff of resurrection work. It's the stuff the world desperately needs, and it also happens to be the stuff we're called to be about. Not just when we feel like it, or when it's convenient. Not just with the fun people or the ones who are just like us. Not just when we're rested or when we're up to it. We're called to be about resurrection work day in and day out, as we sleep and as we eat, as we rest and as we play, as we live and as we breathe. As people who follow a risen Savior, resurrection work is not just what we do, it's who we are at our very core. There's no better time to commit to this resurrection work because Easter isn't just a day, it's a season. It started last Sunday. And we have 50 days in which to proclaim to those who need it most just how the resurrection was shocking, exhilarating, and mind-blowing. Precisely how it was dream-making, joy-filling, death-defying. Exactly how it was life-giving, game-changing, and God-winning. We have 50 days in which to proclaim and live how it was those things for all who experienced it in our Bible stories long ago, and how it is those things in our lives today, here, now. And beyond that, we have a lifetime to proclaim the good news that all may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, all may have life in his name.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.